I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's September 20th, and we have a lot to talk about. Well, I should probably say I have a lot to be thankful for. Today, Real Talk MS is 5 years old, and for that, I have each of you to thank. Since our launch in 2017, I've produced 264 weekly episodes, recorded bonus episodes from some of the most important MS research conferences in the world, interviewed hundreds of guests, and shared hundreds of stories. But the thing that means most to me about this five-year milestone is the way that you've welcomed me into your lives and shared your feedback and personal stories with me. When I launched Real Talk MS, I had no idea about how it might be received. I had absolutely no experience in podcasting beyond being an occasional listener. But in any new venture, having a goal is important. And I remember setting my goal at reaching 300 listeners. And I set that as a goal, something to work toward. I remember feeling so incredibly grateful when I reached those 300 listeners in less than a month. And I'll admit that I continue to be amazed when I see the reach that Real Talk MS has achieved. Over the past 5 years, episodes of Real Talk MS have been downloaded more than 1.5 million times by listeners in over 100 countries around the world. I honestly find it difficult to wrap my head around those numbers, and as I said at the very beginning of this episode, all I can say is thank you. I'm glad you continue to find it worthwhile to invest your time and attention in this podcast, and I always do my best to give you a fair return on that investment. I also have another set of thank yous to share today. Last week at the National MS Society's Dinner of Champions in Los Angeles, I was honored to receive the Impact Award. It was an evening I'll never forget, and an honor that came as a complete surprise. So I want to especially thank the Southern California chapter of the National MS Society, and the Dinner of Champions committee in particular, for determining that I was a worthy recipient of this award. Because today is a sort of milestone episode, I have some special things planned for you. First, you're going to hear my exclusive conversation with CNN's national correspondent and anchor, John King. John was diagnosed with MS in 2008, but chose not to disclose his diagnosis until it came up in an unplanned moment in 2021 while he was on national television. I found John King to be inspirational, and I think you will too. Then we're going to do something I've never done in the 5 years that I've been doing this podcast. Donia Baines is someone who I've interviewed on Real Talk MS before. Donia lives with MS. She's also a long-distance caregiver for her father, who's living with progressive MS. In 2017, Donia launched and still facilitates a self-help group for teens and college students who are living with MS. She's an MS activist, a past recipient of the Inspiration Award from the National MS Society, and she's a pretty remarkable person. So a few weeks ago, Donia contacted me and asked if she could take over this podcast. She said she wanted to interview me, and the ground rules were that I couldn't see the interview questions in advance. This sounded like it would be fun, so I said yes. So later in today's episode, we'll all experience Donia Baines' Real Talk MS takeover. But before we get to that, I want to share my very special conversation with CNN's John King. John King is CNN's chief national correspondent and anchor of Inside Politics, an hour-long program featuring a panel of top-tier political correspondents that airs weekdays at noon. John has covered the past 9 presidential elections and has reported from all 50 states and more than 70 countries. From 1999 to 2005, John was CNN's senior White House correspondent, reporting on the September 11 terrorist attacks and the Iraqi war. John was diagnosed with MS in 2008, but it was during a live broadcast on October 19th, 2021, that John disclosed his MS to the world. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Absolutely. My pleasure to be here. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you. So let's go back to 2008 for a moment. What were the symptoms that led to your diagnosis?
Well, I had had some other symptoms prior to the getting into the tunnel that took me to the diagnosis, but the doctors, and I know now, I know from talking to so many other people on this journey that it happens. It's pretty common. I was having some issues, you know, in my legs, but I have some damage at from discs from a car accident in my back. So the issues in my legs, they kept attributing to that must be from the discs or it must be from that. But at the Republican National Convention in 2008, I essentially lost feeling from about my chest down. I was really numb and funny feelings, and it moved into my hands, and that had never happened before. And so I went to see the paramedics at the convention center. It was in Minneapolis. And it was interesting because one of the EMTs actually whispered in my ear, I said, I bet you have MS. I have someone in my family who has MS, and I'm guessing this is MS. I shrugged and said, okay, thanks for your help. But after the convention, I started seeing some doctors, and then, explaining my symptoms, which were lack of sensation in most of my legs for some time at that point. And I got into the channel of doing the testing, including the MRIs. And when the MRIs came back, you had the telltale lesions. And that officially began the MS journey. The doctors now believe I was having symptoms for probably 8 to 10 years before that. They just hadn't reached the scale yet to set off all the MS alarms, I guess.
Not an unusual situation at all. So no. What went through your mind when you received that diagnosis?
I was scared. I was scared as a parent. I was scared professionally. Would I be able to do a job that I love? I made the mistake I'm sure many people do, is I spent a lot of time on the internet, and that makes you even more scared. in the sense that, I laugh a little bit about it now, but one of the things I've learned is how blessed and how lucky I am, in the sense that my MS, well, it is a pain in the you-know-what every day of my life. It challenges me sometimes more profoundly than others. I understand now, 13 years into this journey, how lucky I am and how cruel MS is to so many people. And so sometimes I'm hesitant to speak about my journey because I think people say, oh, there's that guy on television, or he looks okay. This disease must not be that bad. And so I urge anyone listening to understand there's an A and a Z, right? In between that A and the Z, there are a whole host of experiences, some of them very cruel, some of them episodic. Like in my case, I have very bad weeks and then I can go a good stretch. But in those early days, was I going to be able to walk? Was I going to be able to play baseball and other sports with my children? Would I be able to travel and do my job? The gift of my job is I get to meet America and cover campaigns and travel. I would occasionally, go to Iraq, for example, covered the first Persian Gulf War many, many years ago. And so I just thought, both personally and professionally, was this going to change everything? And that's a very scary, frightening experience. I had great doctors from the beginning. They essentially told me, let's calm down. Let's take this one day at a time. Let's try to understand the scope of this. And then beginning to understand the terminology, relapsing, remitting, what different medication options are there? What do you want to try? But at the beginning, I think like most people, you're frightened. You're frightened personally. You don't understand where this path is going to take you. And you understand that you are going to live a very different life. How different, takes its own course.
For sure. I think you just checked every box that every person who's diagnosed with MS goes through. I mentioned a moment ago that you disclosed you were living with MS in 2021 during a conversation on your show about COVID-19 vaccinations. So as someone living with MS, how did you feel then? And we'll get to where we are today in just a moment. But how did it feel living with MS in 2020, 2021, with a pandemic raging around us?
The fear came back. Again, right? You get to a point where you always have a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of concern. I hope I'm a good enough and a big enough person to manage the fear, in the sense that I do have good doctors. So, ask questions of the medical professionals and get through your bad weeks or your bad months or your bad stretches. But in the early days, you can't touch anything. Right. They thought any surface, if you touched a surface that had been exposed, back when we didn't have as many answers and we didn't have the treatments, obviously, and the vaccines that we have now, knowing that the medications I take compromise my immune system, which, you know, at least in theory, makes you more vulnerable to any infection. I have the sniffles and a cough. You know, I always, my joke is somebody in West Virginia sneezes and I catch the cold here in Washington, D.C. That's welcome to my life, right? It's a nuisance, but it's an acceptable nuisance for the remarkable job my medications have done over the past 13 years. But in the early days, again, you're afraid. And what do I have to, you start thinking, what do I have to do? What should I do? I made the decision. My doctor was a little reluctant, but after I talked to him in detail about the arrangements at my office, I went to work every day. One of the things I do not share with millions of Americans is this work from home experience. I went to the office every day because CNN assured me, and CNN did not know, a lot of, most people at CNN did not know about my MS at this moment. So I was asking questions, and maybe they thought I was just seemed a little psycho or a little overly nervous about this, but how often is this going to be cleaned? How many people are going to be around? What degree of separation do we have from people? And Wolf Blitzer and John King were the only two CNN anchors going in to the DC Bureau at that time, and a very small number of support. So I was convinced that I could keep a safe distance from everybody. And we have a great cleaning crew, the most, you know, as in any building, you know, the most, the least paid and the most overworked. The cleaning folks, it's a private contractor, but in my office building, they're saints. They're wonderful human beings. They do a fantastic job. They were doing everything they could to keep everything clean. And then I carried around my own little, you know, tube of wipes and wiped everything down extra myself anyway, even though I knew they were doing a great job, just out of that fear. And then after a while, you know, you start doing it for week after week after week. And for me, the challenge was to just make sure that the wipes were everywhere. So visually you were reminded. So you didn't forget. You didn't just start to get lazy and forget. And we got through the experience. As we have this conversation, you know, I consider myself incredibly lucky, in part probably because I've been so careful. Knock on wood, I have yet to have COVID. You know, I'm determined to keep the streak alive. But in those early days, I was extra determined because I was worried about, you know, immunocompromised issues. And so if you did get COVID, you know, would it be worse? Would it hit you harder? I'm in relatively good shape. I think I'm in very good health otherwise. But as a parent, I just was thinking, okay, I need to stay away from this thing. It's bad.
Well, congratulations on being part of that proud minority who can still claim never having.
See how long it lasts.
Something you alluded to just a moment ago. We're looking at COVID-19 a little differently today. We have vaccines, we have boosters, we have treatments for if or when you do get infected. And now I'll knock on wood as I say this: the latest variants seem to produce milder results in most people. We're at a point in time when many experts are telling us to just get comfortable living with COVID-19 in the world. So as someone who's living with COVID-19 in the world and someone who's living with MS, how comfortable are you being out and about today?
I'm careful. I don't know that I would say comfortable. I agree with the professionals. I think, you know, one thing I hope everybody has learned here, and I hope maybe I had a little bit more empathy to it and openness to it because of my own experience dealing with, you know, scientists, doctors, healthcare professionals who spend endless hours, number one, putting themselves on the front lines and at risk all the time. But number two, you know, trust the data, trust the scientists, don't try to be an expert. And as I said at the beginning, don't trust the internet. You know, actually talk to the experts. So comfortable is not a word I would use. I think that I'm a pragmatist and I'm someone who understands you have to get things done. I have a job I need to do. I have an 11-year-old. My son's baseball league got back in business. I was grateful early on when they did that. They took very good safety precautions because it was so important for his mental health to be doing some things out there. So I think now, you know, still do what you can. I think the political debates over masks and vaccines have become a huge distraction in many ways. And so, you know, we can talk about that if you wish. I'm happy to. That's one of the reasons I spoke up in the first place, because of my annoyance with the debates over masks and vaccines. But I think that anyone on the MS journey has had to think a lot about things. Is this a safe environment? Can I get up and down these stairs? You know, what about this slick surface? Where am I going? And so our minds might be preconditioned to ask those questions. If I'm having a bad MS day and my legs are out, you know, I have to worry about balance. I think about, you know, I think all the, I plan. I plan the walk from my bedroom down the stairs and into my kitchen. And so maybe we're preconditioned a little bit more to think about these things. So I still carry a mask. I still have wipes in my car. I don't mean this the way it's going to sound, but set the political debate about masks aside. How about we all just use some common sense? I'm going to be in a crowded grocery store. This new variant is spreading. There are a lot of cases in Washington. I have immuno issues. Maybe the person in front of me, the perfect stranger, does too, right? I hope it makes you more empathetic. So pull your mask out and put it on. It's not a big deal, right? It's not hurting my freedom to wear a mask in line at the grocery store or to wear a mask when I'm in the back of a taxi cab or on a bus. I'm protecting myself, and I might well be protecting somebody who's even more vulnerable than me. So the politics of this debate are incredibly frustrating to me, both as someone who's covered politics for 35 years and as somebody who lives through the immunocompromised issues. That part gets frustrating. So I wouldn't say comfortable now. I'm sorry to ramble on, but I wouldn't say I'm comfortable now. I think I'm conditioned to use common sense safety practices, leave a little extra space in line, keep a mask in your pocket, be careful. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be a hermit. You don't have to live in a cave. Just be common sense careful.
Everything you just said was so important. Feel free to ramble on any old time. I'm good with all that. You lived with MS for 13 years before choosing to go public with your diagnosis. Has anything changed for you since you made that disclosure?
Yes. Number one, when you carry something like, when you carry a secret, you don't realize how much of a sort of an internal burden it is. It feels like I've taken a lead vest off, if you will. I feel lighter. I feel lighter. A small group of people, very close friends, family members knew, of course, one or two colleagues at the office, two or three actually colleagues at the office knew. But you always want to be fully honest. And the issue for me is at the beginning, I was worried that first I was unsure what my treatment path would be. Then I was worried, would this affect me professionally and for the best of intentions, not in any discriminatory way. I always had great bosses and a great support system. My worry early on was, will they say maybe John King shouldn't go to Iraq? Maybe John King shouldn't go out and cover tornadoes and hurricanes. Maybe we should protect him. I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I mean that from the kindness of their heart because they don't understand. So I was afraid to tell them at the beginning. And then it's year one becomes year two, becomes year three, and you're kind of caught. Then it's like, well, why am I telling them now? They're going to think I'm sick. They're going to think it's terrible. They're going to think something bad's happening. So I got caught in this cycle, if you will. So I do feel like a giant lead vest has been let off me. But most importantly, I thought that many people in the MS community might be mad at me, that here I had this platform and I hadn't said anything. I hadn't joined the fight, if you will. I hadn't raised my hand and helped people better understand this complex and frustrating disease. Instead, the reaction from others in the MS community has just been overwhelming, mind-blowing. The gratitude, the love, the attention, the affection, the good words of support, just mind-blowing. And so I'm grateful. I cannot find the words to express my gratitude to people, many of whom every day have a harder life. I'm lucky. Again, I'll knock on wood. MS is a pain in my, well, it's not a pain. It's I wish it were a pain. It's a numbness in my you-know-what or a lack of feeling in my you-know-what. Every day I have some frustration. Often, many days, they're pretty modest frustrations. But that so many people who have a tougher MS journey have been so kind and welcoming to me, that has just been mind-blowingly wonderful.
Well, I think everybody in the MS community experiences those same questions once they're diagnosed. Who do I disclose to? How do I do it? Should I do it at all? So I think the situation that you faced is incredibly common to anyone who's affected by MS, and I can understand everyone's understanding for sure. It's quite likely that someone who's been recently diagnosed is going to be listening to this conversation. What's your message for them?
Number one, you have a lot of company. Reach out. There's a lot of support out here if you need it. And if you can't, if for privacy reasons or uncertainty reasons or just for your personal comfort level, if for any reason you're afraid to have that conversation, with your spouse, your partner, your parents, your siblings, your loved ones, some colleague at work, if for some reason you think I need to answer these questions before I can expand my circle of knowledge, find the help. Find the help. We're here. We are here. And we will treat everything you want confidentially, help you through our own experiences, remind you that your experience will be different from ours. Everybody listening is going to have a slightly different experience. But there is so much support available to you through official channels and just through unofficial good people who have gone through the frustrations and the joy. I always say there's a gift in the challenge, right? We learn a ton about ourselves when we have to deal with challenge. I'm a better person. I hope I'm a more empathetic person. I'm more aware of the vulnerabilities or the invisible. I'm aware that there are people around me who might look perfect, who might actually be quite vulnerable in some way. And so I need to be sensitive to that. So you can get help, number one. Number two, take a breath. I get it. It's scary. It's scary in those early days. So find some help, find some conversation. And then, you know, then start trusting the people around you. They love you for a reason. They love you for a reason. And so trust the people who love you most and then keep going from there. And just, you know, have patience, have patience. If you have questions for your doctors, keep asking questions. There are no stupid questions. If you're frustrated with your doctors, find another one just to make sure, have a second or a third conversation because you need to be comfortable with where you're going. And then just, you know, it can get scary and you can have a stretch of several good days and then have a horrible day. I have a son of a very good friend of mine who was recently diagnosed. And it took, you know, on a third attempt at medication because the first two didn't help much. And, the scans were getting even worse and everything. It's this one, let's pray, seems to be working or at least seems to be flatlining things. So it may take some time. It may be really frustrating. You're going to need the help of some people around you. So when you're ready, find somebody to lean on. And then understand, lastly, I would just say this, that remember the people who love you. They may do some things or say some things sometimes that hurt or that offend or that you think are insensitive because they want to go somewhere. For me, one of my triggers, oddly, is loud noises. Now, I can go to a basketball game and be around loud noises because I know it and I plan it and I can go and I manage the situation. It still bothers me, but I've planned it through. So when it happens, I don't like, you know, it's like shockwaves through my nervous system sometimes. If you stun me with, you know, hard static or a fire truck siren when I'm driving can turn my arms to rubber. So when you say you don't want to go to a restaurant, you don't want to go out, they may think you're just using your MS as a cop out because you don't want to go out in some social setting. It's going to take them some time to understand too. So be patient. Be patient with the people across from you. If you know they love you, even if you think they're reading you wrong or they're being insensitive, just help them. Try to stay calm, try to stay polite, help them along the journey because it's hard because they can't see it. They can't see your lesions. They can't see your legs go from fine to rubber, you know, and so over time they will come to understand your experience and they will come to trust your judgments. Early on, sometimes that can be tough and it can be tough on relationships.
John King, thank you for choosing to educate so many others by sharing your MS diagnosis and your MS journey. And thanks for talking with me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. It's a journey we should all take hand in hand, literally and figuratively together. Because again, my journey is different from your journey, is different from everybody else's journey. But we can get through this and hopefully the smart people someday figure out a cure. Until then, we just all have to help each other.
Now, as promised, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for the Dawnia Baines takeover of Real Talk MS. I'll remind you that I didn't have any idea about what Dawnia was going to ask me, and I didn't edit anything out of our conversation. So you're going to hear it exactly as it went down. In a moment, we'll hear Dawnia's conversation with me.
John, thank you so much for letting me take over, but I have to say happy 5th anniversary to Real Talk MS.
Thank you.
Excited. Of course. Yeah, I didn't realize it was your anniversary when I asked to take over, but thank you for trusting me with your baby because I know how it feels. So I was like, is he going to let me do it? So thank you.
You are entirely welcome. And I will have to admit my heart's beating a little bit faster right now.
It's okay, but I'm excited to celebrate you for another reason, which we'll get into in a moment. But I need you to do something for me first.
What can I do for you, Dawnia?
And so I need you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I. Say your name if you want to say your middle two, but your full name, please.
Jonathan Robert Strum.
Promise to only talk.
Promise to only talk.
About my story.
About my story.
And no one else for the next few minutes.
Well, that's a hard one. And no one else for the next few minutes.
Thank you. You can put your hand down now. So you've promised you put your hand up. But yeah, if I had a buzzer, I would buzz it. I would squeak a dog toy, but I don't want them to come running and barking. But I know that's going to be challenging for you. That's why I really enjoyed being able to make you say that. But just to get into it a little bit, and then I have some really deep questions in the end. But for those that don't know, what made you start Real Talk MS?
I spent 6 years on the Scientific Steering Committee of the International Progressive MS Alliance. But when I first started my role on the committee, I was exposed to really amazing research that was being done. And as I heard about it and as I learned about it, I found myself feeling really encouraged, really hopeful about the future. But I also realized that I was literally the only person from North America who was affected by progressive MS who was sitting in that room, in those meetings. No one else was hearing what I was hearing. And I thought that would really be good to be able to share this kind of information, because maybe other people would feel a little more encouraged about the future. And that's really what started me on the path that ended up as Real Talk MS.
I believe your wife was the reason that you're even interested in MS. Am I correct?
Yeah, my wife, Jean, lived for 23 years with a very cruel case of progressive MS, just a really nasty set of symptoms. But she was a fighter, far, far more courageous than I could ever be.
Well, I want to say thank you for staying, you know, with your wife, and because it can be scary. You know, I'm single. I'm worried about that. But even people that are married, to know that there are spouses that stay. And then thank you for even starting Real Talk. That is this amazing platform that it just shows your character and how amazing you are. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now I want to get to the real reason that I wanted to take over your podcast. I see you looking a little nervous.
Yeah.
but I wanted to celebrate you. And I was really trying to figure out what can I do. And I was looking at you when we were in a different meeting, and I was like, I'm going to ask him if I can take over. So I want to say, because my platform is nowhere near yours. And so I want to say to you, congratulations on your well-deserved Impact Award. John, if I had like horns and like the little, you know, honks and all that, I would do that. But congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I have to admit, that was a complete surprise. I am honored and humbled even to be considered for that kind of an award. I have gone to past Dinner of Champion events where I've seen the honoree get the Impact Award, and to even be considered in the same category as some of the previous winners, I can't really quite wrap my head around it, but thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I've known you, I don't know, what are we at, 5 years or so? And the way you've impacted my life, you know, when I saw that, I was like, absolutely, like, this is well-deserved. You are my source of comfort sometimes. And like, I look to you, you know, for so many things, but I greatly appreciate you. And I wanted to make sure that you were honored the way that you should be. And I was like, my little few followers is not going to understand the impact of John Strum. So what can I do? So what is this? You said like what the award means to you. So thank you for all of that. Now I'm going to get a little deeper in my questioning, because we want to know who John Strum is. You're like, you have the amazing voice, which I'm sorry to everyone that my voice is not as cool as John. And so what I want to know, so that we know a little bit more about you, I'm going to ask you, when you were younger, what was your favorite toy to play with?
Oh, let's see. Now, there's a question I've never asked anyone before. So you're already showing me up when it comes to interview skills, making me look bad. But that's okay, Dania. I can always learn. Let me think. My favorite toy to play with. It's somewhere you can categorize it as a toy when you're really young. Of course, when you get a little older, you then call it sporting equipment. My football. My football was my favorite toy to play with.
gotcha. I and speaking of, I still need to send you some Steeler stuff because you're going to be in my city in a little bit. So got to get you some Steelers equipment.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite?
I should explain to the people listening that I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, which is basically down the highway from Pittsburgh. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns, my home team, were and still are pretty bitter rivals.
Will always be.
Right? And I know that going to the Browns-Steeler game in Cleveland, we'd always see all those fans pour in from Pittsburgh, get off the buses, carrying those heavy beer coolers with them, and coming into the stadium for the game. And I'm sure they saw something pretty similar when the Steelers played the Browns at home. So the fact that you think I'm going to be caught with Steelers paraphernalia is pretty funny to me.
I'm like, you're welcome. Yeah, Pittsburgh is pretty crazy when it comes to their team. And I'm like, you got, like, even the way my family decorates their house, I'm like, oh my gosh, like everything is Steelers. But all right, so have fun when you're in Steelers in Pittsburgh during football season.
Yeah, I guess I should also explain the reason I'm going to be there is there is a caregiver research conference that I've been invited to attend. So I'm looking to learn a few things as well, along with how the city of Pittsburgh celebrates football season. Yes.
Yes. I'll have to get you a terrible towel. And so another question for you, are you a caller or a texter?
I think my initial response is to call, but then I usually catch myself and think, well, whoever I'm trying to reach is probably going to be more convenient for them if I text. So I probably text more often than I call. I know you're 100% caller.
Absolutely so, caller. I get so distracted with text messages. But yes, absolutely call. But nice. Okay, so you can do both, but you, out of consideration, texter.
Yeah.
What you telling me I'm not considerate? Is that what you said just now? Or?
Oh, I see I see how this interview is going to be. Okay, then.
Yeah, but okay. So now, what is your dream age? If you could go back to any age, what would that age be? And stay at that age forever. It's like, I love it right here. This is the age. What would that be?
Well, it almost sounds like a cliche answer. So my initial answer was right now, now. And the reason is I am so blessed to be doing this podcast that seems to connect with an awful lot of people and interacting with them, getting those, whether it's a call from you or a text or an email from somebody, having that ongoing dialogue is so rewarding to me. When somebody says, hey, I learned something, you helped me, or I took that information in that interview you did and I told my neurologist about it and we had a conversation, that just makes my day. I light up. Yeah. So getting to do something that gives me such a return, it's the greatest paycheck in the world that way. And then every week I also get to do the Ask an MS Expert webcast for the National MS Society. And it's the same thing. I get to do something that so many people stop and tell me, hey, this helped me. I learned something. This made me feel a little bit better about something, or it gave me a way to maybe minimize a symptom I've been dealing with, or gave me something new to think about. I can't tell you how rewarding that is. So being able to do that every single week, incredibly rewarding. So I have to say, there's nothing about the right now that I'm unhappy with. So my first ideal age would be today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I doing this interview now, you're helping me feel like lazy or selfish or something, because my dream age is 3. because I'm like, you don't have to worry about anything as a 3-year-old. You can just go play with your toys. If you want to get picked up, you can say what you want. And I'm like, man, I shouldn't want to just be 3. So maybe I'll get 2 ages. I'll pick 3 and right now. So that'll be a little better. You make me feel inconsiderate of people. I'm like, I do like helping people. So thank you, John.
You are thinking of others. You are one of the most considerate people. You are one of the most helpful people.
You're violating.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Guys, stop. I need my horn to stop you. Okay, another question, and this is a food question. What is 2 things, because I love both of these items, and I just need to know how our friendship is going to go from here. So what is your perfect dream peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Skippy Super Chunk, white bread, and Smucker's strawberry preserves.
Yum. Okay, so we're the same with that. But I'm going to tell you another level that I've learned, and it was from doing something with the MS Society, is that you grill it. You can put your peanut butter and jelly in like a sandwich press or cook it on the stove and press it, and it just takes your peanut butter and jelly to another level. So you should try it one day. Anybody should try it, but it's so good.
Get out of here. I never heard that. I definitely put that to the test. Have no fear.
Please, it's life changing. It's just like, what? Where have you been all my life? And then my other question, pizza. If you had a pizza, what would your toppings be?
Very old school there. Extra cheese, pepperoni.
Awesome. Well, those are my questions. I, again, just want to say congratulations. Happy anniversary on Real Talk MS. Thank you. For everything that you do, congratulations on the Impact Award, which is well deserved. And I'm looking forward to many, many, many more years of Real Talk MS. Maybe we'll get you a TV show. I think that would be fun.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. As you pointed out in the beginning, I've never had the chance to be on this side of things. And I have to say, as somebody who interviews people, you did an incredible job. I need to work a little harder to kind of keep my skills up after listening to you. So very well done, Dania.
Thank you. And you violated again. You talked about somebody else. So I forgive you. You did good. You only did it twice that I caught. I have to go back and listen and go, oh, he did it more than 2 times. But good job on that. But thank you for that. I appreciate it. I really do. And you know, I love you very much. And so does my family. It's whenever my mom sees you, she's like, is that John Strum? We can't just say John. It has to be John Strum.
But I get that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now they know your middle name. So maybe we could call you John Robert Strum.
Oh, boy.
Well, thank you again. Thank you. Thank you. And happy anniversary.
Thanks so much, Dania. That's going to wrap up this 5th anniversary episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/264. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes, and it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. The first 5 years have been an amazing ride. I can't wait to see what's next.